life goes better when you have wisdom. Would that be correct? So we want to know what wisdom is, and in your notes there, it probably says to you it's the quality of having experience. You know, I started being a senior pastor when I was 24 years old, and so I probably went to the School of Hard Knocks, probably still going to that school once in a while. But one of the things that I learned was, you know what, why don't I just ask Christians that have served the Lord and been deacons and leaders in the church for 40, 50, and 60 years, and maybe I wouldn't have to butt my head up against the wall so many times. Amen? Can we draw on experience? So wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge. So actually, wisdom is actually also the practical application of knowledge. You know, some people have book smarts and maybe not so much common sense. Have you ever met any of those? Okay, I'm married to a woman that is filled with a lot of common sense, so good wisdom, good discernment, all of this. Even this morning when I came to just show her what I thought I was going to wear to church, the look on her face says, go back and change again. So thank God for godly wisdom. You don't have to see the shirt that I was going to wear with these pants this morning. So anyway, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. It's a proper application of knowledge, experience, and good judgment. Maybe one verse that would go along with that would be Hebrews chapter 5. I believe it's verse 14. It says, solid food is for the mature. That's you, right? You're supposed to say amen a little louder than that. Solid food is for the mature who through what? Through practice, through experience, through life, have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. To actually know right and wrong. Now, today we live in a society that doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. Amen? Isaiah 5:20 says you will live in a day where they call evil good and good evil. And that would be described exactly by the world that we're living in today. Amen? It says in Romans chapter 1, and hopefully we'll get to that at the end of the chapter, but because they refused to acknowledge God, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do all kinds of stupid, bad, ugly, evil things. Because they've refused to honor God. God is the beginning of wisdom. If you want wisdom, it says the fear of the Lord in Proverbs chapter 9 is the beginning of wisdom. So we want to make good decisions. So once again, I could probably talk to 10 about to 10 o'clock tonight just thanking God for my parents, my wife, deacons, elders, leaders, people in church for the whole last 32 years that I pastored to help us make wise decisions as far as the church. All right, so that's point number one. Point number two, what does the Bible say about wisdom? We'll talk about this a little bit more because we're going to talk only about three characters in the Bible. There's a ton of them that had wisdom, but today we're going to talk about Solomon, we're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about Daniel. So what does it say about wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8? It said it's more precious than rubies. Anybody own any rubies? Okay, anybody own any gold? Okay, here it says that wisdom is better than rubies and gold. In Proverbs 3, it says nothing in life compares with wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 7 and 8, it says in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all of your getting, get understanding. Wouldn't you like to deal wisely in the affairs of life? You know, I'm going to share a couple jokes at the end of the service. Your job, every time I share a joke, what is your job to do? Laugh, man, you got that down. So we're going to share, and Jenny screened some of these, so if you don't like them, they had to have Jenny's approval. But anyway, I'm not sure why I said that, but anyway, we'll share those at the end. She says a bunch of times, not a good idea. That's wisdom, amen? Don't turn your back on wisdom, verse 8, she'll protect you. Proverbs chapter 1, it says, if you reject wisdom, calamity will come to your life. Now, God won't laugh at you, but it actually says that wisdom will laugh at you. If you reject wisdom, calamity will come, and calamity will laugh at you because you refused wisdom. We don't want to refuse wisdom, amen? So the Bible says a lot about wisdom. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm not sure if this was on the over... I don't always follow perfectly. Was this on the PowerPoint? All right, everybody turn your Bibles. You should all have your Bibles, your pads, or your phone or something to follow along with me. We're going to read quite a few verses here. You're going to stick with me really well. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 3. This is the story of Solomon. It's a great story in the Bible. Verse 4, I'm going to read a lot of verses here. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was important It was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to him. You know what? If you want wisdom, it's a good idea to have such a relationship with God that he can appear to you. All right? At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask whatever you want. You've all heard about Solomon, right? He wrote 3,000 Proverbs. He wrote over 1,000 songs. People traveled for miles to come and glean from his wisdom. Verse 6, Solomon answers, says, God, you have given me great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he is faithful to you. That's a good way to get wisdom, is to have a pure heart and be faithful to God. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Verse 7, now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in the place of your father David, but I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Now, here's a good way. Did you hear what he said? I don't know how to carry out your duties. Here's how you relate to God and the rest of your life if you want wisdom. You come to the point, hopefully you've already come to this point, you realize that you don't know all there is to know about the Bible. You don't know all there is to know about God. You don't know all there is to know about church. And you don't know all there is to know about your future. Would that be a good place to live? You wouldn't believe how many people would think that they know it all. Okay? That's not the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The wisdom is the principal thing. And so if I want humility and you want humility, hopefully you do, you're humble, teachable, pliable, accountable, and all of those qualities of an integrity and a pure heart, because that is the breeding ground for God to be able to speak to you. So you've shown kindness, and now I get to sit on the throne. You have made your servant the king, but I'm only a little child, and I don't know how to carry out your duties. Verse 8, your servant is here among the people. You have chosen a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give. Here's what Solomon had a good answer. He didn't ask for riches or wealth or fame or all those different things. He said, God, so give your servant a discerning heart. Give me wisdom to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. That would be a good idea, right? Nowadays, there's a lot of young kids, teenagers in their 20s, that because they were not brought up any different with life skills, they don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. It's your job to teach them the Word of God so they know what's right and wrong. A little fear of God, amen, is good. It's the beginning of wisdom. In my house growing up, Dad always felt a little fear of me as a beginning of wisdom. Amen? He didn't beat us, but trust me, you know me and my personality enough already that I got a lot of spankings, didn't I? All right? Well, the wisdom says, spare the rod, spoil the child. It's with the rod of correction that you drive rebellion right out of them. If you don't have it, rebellion will still be in their heart. That's wisdom. The wisdom of this world now says, don't spank your kid. God says, spank your kid. Amen? The wisdom of the world is foolishness. All right, what else do we got here? So the Lord was pleased with Solomon, and he asked for this. So God said to him, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth, not asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you'll ask. I'll give you a wise and discerning heart, so you'll never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I'll give you heart, give you what you have not asked for. I'm going to give you wealth and honor. You better have wisdom if you get wealth, because otherwise you're going to go in the wrong direction. So that in your lifetime you'll have no equal among the kings. You'll walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands. As David your father did, I'll give you a long life. Then Solomon woke and he realized it had been a dream. So maybe a little bit later I'll come back to talk about the bad side of Solomon. Do you realize that he didn't finish strong? Do you realize that he disobeyed God, that God said don't marry the foreign women? And so what did he have? 300 wives, 100 princesses, and 700 concubines. So, ladies, don't give me a bad look here, but that would be a little bit difficult to have 1,000 wives, wouldn't it? That would probably not be wisdom, would it? Okay? Anyway, I didn't get in trouble with that one, did I? But anyway, Solomon walked away from God. He disobeyed God. God said, don't marry the foreign women because their gods will become your gods. And that's exactly what happened. He took on, he said, don't intermarry. The reason he did that, because he knew that they were idol worshipers. They were pagan worshipers. And he knew that a woman can lead a guy, whatever, as far as his heart. And he even set up things of worship for the pagans, because his wives influenced him. You know, here's what wisdom is. Bad company corrupts good character. So you show me your best friends and I'll show you your life. Amen? Godly wisdom will surround yourself. Obviously, we need to be in the world to reach the world, but I'm going to surround myself with people that love Jesus and the will of God and the things of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So point number three. So how do I get this wisdom? Pretty simple. It says in James chapter 1, if you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask God. As a pastor, I make decisions for this church every single week of my life. Here's how you make decisions. If you didn't know it, I'm probably always not that smart. Did you guys know that already? You don't have to say amen to that, amen? But let's just say last Sunday, since, you know, we have a lot of money to deal with now with the scholarship money. That is a whole lot of money. And when you have a whole lot of money, it would be good to have wisdom, amen? Okay, you want to know what my part in the meeting was last week? That my part was just to call the meeting. I didn't have to say a word. Because I was surrounded by six or seven other people that were probably a whole lot smarter than I was. And you listen to three deacons. One of those deacons is a judge and has been a lawyer, so he can interpret all the legal documents and know. And then you invite somebody that knows the agreements really well and is really, really smart. They have their input. And then you have, I think they're going to invite already two others of you on it. But how do you come up with wise decisions? You don't have to come up with them all on your own, do you? You can ask for wisdom and then surround yourself with people with great wisdom, and you can draw on their wisdom. We had a deacon meeting. We decide things for the church. You know what? It would be a good thing if your deacons make good decisions for the church. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't you want them to have the mind of Christ? So I don't think we've ever had a meeting where we didn't ask, and I think that was the first thing that Dave prayed for during the deacon meeting Monday night. God, give us wisdom. Because we're making decisions for all of us. And we want the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. When we commit our ways to the Lord, do you know what He'll do? He'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. Not your will, His will. And then when you do His will, they're automatically blessed. And you live a successful, blessed, and fruitful, and good life. Amen? So, if you need wisdom, ask God. Now, I like to double cover myself as far as wisdom. But do you realize, and take this in context, you don't necessarily have to ask for wisdom. Also, you already have wisdom. Did you know that? When Jesus came into you, He brought you the mind of Christ. Now, you have to develop that by reading your Bible every single day of your life, memorizing the Word of God, living the Word of God. God commands you to do that. But in 1 Corinthians 1:30, He said, He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. What does that mean? That means that when Jesus came into me, I have His wisdom. I have Jesus living in here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? We wouldn't want it to just be Andy. I have the mind of Christ, it says in Corinthians. In Corinthians, it says I also have the wisdom of God. So when I'm making decisions for my life, which I'm making decisions all the time, I'm just expecting that the wisdom of God is going to be made manifest in my life. So how do you get wisdom? Where does it come from? Obviously, it comes from God. He's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. So ask for it. Realize that it's already in you. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Do you guys want to know two of the most misquoted verses in the Bible? Do you guys know what they are? They're quoted all the time by Christians, and they're misquoted all the time, and this is one of them here in Isaiah 55. You're not going to stone me or reject me because I'm going to teach you something different than you believe right now, are you? All right, this is Isaiah 55. This is absolutely amazing. Everybody quotes it. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, God's thoughts aren't our thoughts and His ways aren't our ways. Have you ever heard anybody quote that? If you take a verse out of the Bible and you don't take it in the context of what it was written in, you just took it out of context. So when you say God's thoughts aren't our thoughts and His ways aren't our ways, blessed be the name of the Lord, and that's your excuse for acting like an idiot the rest of your life. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that in a sermon. That's not a good place to live. You can actually have the mind of Christ. You can actually renew your mind. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's read Isaiah 55 in context. Verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while He may be found. There's a good idea. If you want wisdom, have a great relationship with Jesus. He wants to speak to you all day long, every day of your life. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked, here's a good verse right there. Who is He writing to? He's writing to Israel, and what was their state of mind right now? They were in rebellion, they were in sin, they were in wickedness, they were in disobedience. That's not a good place to get the wisdom of God. And He said, you know what? You're living in sin, you need to repent, you're living in wickedness, and because of that, their thoughts were not like God's thoughts, and their ways were not like God's ways, but God doesn't want you to use that as an excuse and remain that way the rest of your life. Let them turn to the Lord. Let them forsake his unrighteous thought. Let the wicked forsake their ways. God will forgive. And then he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, they were in rebellion, and that's why. Neither are your ways my ways. How about you just memorize the whole Bible and you'll know the mind of Christ and wisdom of God, amen? That's part of my goal, to get the whole New Testament. Hide it, God's word in my heart so I wouldn't sin against him. So anyway, you can read the rest of those verses on your own, but God doesn't want us to stay in that state. You want to hear, this is free, this is not in the sermon, but the other verse that people misquote all the time is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love God and called according to his purpose. I'll give you a whole sermon on that one, but that is probably the second most misquoted verse in the Bible. And we'll teach you what that verse really means someday on another sermon. You guys look forward to that one, amen? Turn your Bibles to Romans 1, and it'll take us a while before we get there. So point number three, how do I get this wisdom? Well, I ask for it. I get in the Bible. I get in the Word of God. I learn God's thoughts and I learn God's ways. I learn God's will. You know, it's through experience and discernment, we have our senses trained to know what's right and wrong. You've made wrong decisions and said, hey, I'm not going to make that decision again, amen? All right. I'm not going to go a whole lot longer as far as Solomon right now. Maybe I'll come back to that later. But two other verses on where you get wisdom. I practiced my whole, I started pastoring when I was 24 years old, so that'd be a good idea really to draw on wisdom other people, right? These are two verses that have helped me through my whole life. Proverbs 11:14, it says, in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. You'll see, every meeting I ever go to, I don't act like I know it all. I don't act like I know everything as far as every answer for church, but I know in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. So I'm going to draw on your wisdom all the time. I draw on my wife's wisdom all the time. I draw on the deacon's wisdom, the elder's wisdom. We draw on wisdom together. That's a good place to live. Proverbs 15, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel. Sometimes we're too arrogant and too proud to ask for help. Have you ever been in that? You know, don't tell my dad I said this whenever he comes to visit, but he's 84 years old now. My sister just moved in. There we needed the wisdom of God, amen? He's 84 years old, wants to stay in his house, but he can't live on his own, and you got to come up with the wisdom of God in the mind of Christ, amen? Now, so my sister and my brother-in-law just moved in this week. Now, obviously, that will present challenges whenever you're living with another family you're not living with. Could that present some challenges? But the family prayed. We're just trying to figure out what is the mind of Christ. Wisdom of God. Dad didn't want to give up the house. My sister has always wanted the house. Just all prayed, all seek God. We all talk. You know what? Does that mean it's ever going to be smooth sailing perfectly? Trust me, you got three different people in the household. There might be some differences. Amen? That's just life. Amen? But wisdom can iron those things out. It's pure. It's feasible. It's easy to be entreated. That's what true wisdom is. All right. So once in a while, draw on the wisdom of other people. Point number four. Are we doing all right this morning? Biblical examples of wisdom. Let me talk about Jesus for a minute. Jesus in his life, this is kind of a trick question here, so please answer right. Did Jesus as a man on this earth operate as a son of God or a son of man? Son of man, thank you. You had the right answer. Thank you, Jesus. We got a smart congregation here, amen. Is it Philippians chapter 2? It said he emptied himself. So the word is kenosis there. That means he laid aside, even though he was the Son of God, he had laid aside that part of his nature and character and essence. I'm probably not saying that right. But he emptied himself and he lived his life as a man so he could be a perfect example for you. And as a son of man, he needed to have a good relationship with his heavenly Father. All right? As a son of man, it says in Luke 2 and verse 40, you can look this up later. It might be up there. But in verse 52, it says Jesus grew. And what did he grow in? Wisdom, knowledge. I'm probably quoting a couple of verses put together here. I'm quoting verse 52 as well. So he grew in wisdom, knowledge, favor, stature in the eyes of God. This is Jesus who had never sinned. Okay, for him to get up and read what he did out of Luke chapter 4 where he said, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, he had to have tons of the Bible memorized to be able to have that privilege to sit in the synagogue and do what he did. He meditated in the Word of God. He grew in wisdom, knowledge, favor, and stature. You want to be like Jesus? You grow in wisdom and knowledge and favor and stature. That's why we studied the Bible every single day of our lives, amen? That's why we actually memorized the Bible, amen? Because the Bible is the source of the mind of Christ, and the Bible is the source of our wisdom. So Jesus was a great example. Write these two verses down. It's John chapter 5 and verse 19 and John chapter 5 and verse 30. Jesus, slow down. You got to tell me that about 30 times a sermon, amen? All right? You guys should have these notes memorized. You got them on Friday, amen? So John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus said, I can do nothing by myself. In verse 30, I don't judge by my judgment. I only judge by what the Father tells me. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing through me. If you want wisdom, have a great relationship with your Heavenly Father. He also had a great relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you didn't know it, today is Pentecost Sunday. Okay? We should all have people surround us like they did with Elward. They told Elward when he showed up for a meeting, you're not leaving until you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Elward says, yes, sir, I'm open. Thank you, Lord. That's a good way to live. Did you go and know it's Pentecost Sunday? And did you realize that every believer should be baptized in the Holy Spirit? That every believer has the opportunity to speak in tongues that you wouldn't want to live? That would be wisdom, because God said, don't even think about going to do ministry without the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what he said in Acts chapter 1 and 2? That'd be wisdom. Now, 90% of the church world rejects those verses out of the Bible, but that's the Bible. That's the wisdom of God for us on how to live our lives. So Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. You said, what did he say? Sometimes the whole night in prayer? Where do you think he heard from God when God said what he was going to do? He never healed anybody the same way twice, hardly, did he? You know, one day he had to throw mud on their eyes, the other day he's spitting it, whatever, all these different things. But the Father was speaking to him the night before, so he always had the mind of the Father. He had a sweet relationship with the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit was a part of all those miracles. So Jesus is a great example of that. Amen? Solomon, I'm just going to go back to Solomon just for a minute, but he wrote over 1,000 songs. He wrote over 3,000 proverbs. I think the kingdom was just about the largest that it had ever been as far as territory when he was king. I'm not sure if it was larger than when David was, but whatever. He was blessed in so many ways, but he did not finish well. He did not finish strong. He disobeyed God. He didn't listen to the instructions of God. And when you exchange the truth of God for a lie and believe that it's okay to disobey God and not do what God said, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. In Romans 1, it says they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Well, that's a bunch of America and a bunch of the world right now, amen? When you reject the Word of God and you don't want God involved in your life, you're turned over to a reprobate mind and you become futile in your thinking and you won't walk in great wisdom. Amen? We're not going to look at Daniel today. I give you enough so much information every single week, but we'll look at Daniel another week. But Daniel was amazing. Daniel and his three friends, what did they say about Daniel? Maybe I will share a minute. In chapter 1 and verse 17, what did they say about Daniel? God gave Daniel, you guys are laughing at me, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a command of the science and literature of their day. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So much so that they were what? 10 times wiser than the king's men? Is that right? Did I get it right? God can give you wisdom. Part of Daniel, I'm going to preach on Daniel, I guess. Part of Daniel's wisdom was when they said, you can't pray. What did he do? He went into his house, looked towards Jerusalem, and he prayed just as he had always been doing, because that's where you hear from God. God spoke to him in dreams and visions. He was a part, I believe, of four different kings' lives, and they all had him in a prominent position. This was heathen kings, pagan world, and in the midst of it, God used Daniel because he was faithful to God. He knew God, wouldn't bow his knees to false gods or pagan gods or anything like that. And God spoke through Daniel and used Daniel to bring a blessing to those kings and those kingdoms. And that was even though they were heathen. Amen? We'll get Daniel a little bit more on another day. Let's go to point number 5. You guys doing all right this morning? All right, where do you need wisdom? How about everywhere? Amen? So you guys mind if I share a few jokes with you? And what's your job? All right, there you go. All right, some of these I did not get approval of, so anyway, you can talk to me later. So guys, a recent study has found that women who carry a little extra weight live a lot longer than the men who mention it. Now, I'm being honest here. My wife asks me all the time. She even asked me this morning, how do I look? What do you think I'm going to say? And I'm biased because I think she's gorgeous and she looks good in everything she comes out with. Amen. But she asks me once in a while, you know, is this look all right? And like, well, like I know, you know. Anyway. So the other day, this was not Deb. This was, we'll say it's Brad. All right. So my wife asked me to take her to one of those restaurants where they make food right in front of you. So Brad, is that all right if we just use you for a story? So Brad took Lily to Subway, and that's how the fight started. Sometimes the world changes, and the wisdom and how you operate need to change. When I was 20 years old, going to school down in Dallas, Texas for a couple years, back then, when I was a kid, because, you know, mom and dad had five kids, they didn't give your five kids rides everywhere. We hitchhiked everywhere through town. That's just what you did back then. Now nobody hitchhikes. That would not be wise. You might not ever see your kid again. Okay? But I remember picking up people in Minneapolis or Iowa. You guys mind if I just tell a story? I'm going to tell it anyway. Picked up a kid, whatever, a young guy in his 20s. And I said, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Texas. I said, you're in luck. I'm going to Texas. I said, where in Texas? He said, Dallas. I said, you're in luck. I'm going to Dallas. And then I said, well, where in Dallas? He said, South Dallas. I said, you're in luck. I'm going to South Dallas. I said, what exit in South Dallas? He said, the exit. That was my exit. God's pretty good, isn't he? Now, my mom and dad, when they found out this after the fact, they were not happy with me, but I didn't want to drive for 20 hours. We did that sometimes. That's probably not wisdom to go straight through. And we stopped in a hotel. Here's a guy with, I have no idea who this is. He's sleeping in one bed. I'm sleeping in the next bed. We wake up the next day and we finish our trip. Don't do that today. That would not be wise, would it? Okay? But so we need wisdom on how we raise our kids. I mean, once in a while, we're even watching a kid for somebody and you have them playing in the playground out here. Guess what? You don't leave them for more than 2 minutes without checking on them because somebody could come and grab them, couldn't they? So wisdom of the world. So anyway, here's a hitchhiking story. And once again, your job is to laugh. So picked up a hitchhiker, and he seemed like a good guy. After a few miles, the hitchhiker asks, weren't you afraid that, you know, picking me up, that I could be a serial killer? And the guy says, I told him, well, what are the odds of two serial killers being in the same car at exactly the same time? Anyway, you guys are doing good this morning. Anyway, I thought they were good. So let's get to point number five here, and maybe I'll share one more since you laughed at the first couple. All right. So where do you need wisdom? Well, obviously in your marriage, amen? Is marriage easy? Would you want the wisdom of God? Do you realize that we think totally different? Men are from Mars, ladies from Venus, and God says, put you together. He says, be one. That's quite a sense of humor, isn't it, God? You don't think it at all alike. You don't ever say, come on. But God, with his wisdom, can help you to be one. So my dad prayed three prayers before in his life. And this is before he was saved. He prayed, God bless me in my studies. God bless me with my marriage partner that I choose. And God bless me in my career. You got to hear a story of my dad. Dad was sitting and a professor was teaching. And he says, some of you here are going to be civil engineers. How's this? God can give you wisdom. Dad didn't even know what a civil engineer is. But God spoke to him at that time. A light bulb went on in Dad. And the voice spoke to God. And Dad wasn't even born again yet. He said, you're going to be a civil engineer. He found out what a civil engineer was. And he became a civil engineer, civil engineer, director of public works. And he did that in the city of Winona for 34 years. Do you guys mind if I brag on my dad for a little bit? Now, we were biased. Obviously, it's our dad. So we thought that he ran the city. And we think that he did for 34 years. When you're the director of public works and you have supervisors of the highway and the streets and the sewer and the water and the parks and engineering, did I say airport? Although he had seven department heads underneath him that would run the city, but he was kind of over them. So even after Dad left, they knew his wisdom and they said, would you be mind, and Dad needed insurance for Mom, so he did that too, but would you mind staying on as a consultant for a couple years? And then after Dad was the consultant, they called him still all the time, always having problems, whatever. And you know, every time Dad would say, well, have you go and talk to your department head in that area and ask and find out, you know, what he needs, what he wants, what you can do for him. No, they'd always say, no, I haven't done that. He said, well, wouldn't that be a good idea, a good place to start? You know, if you want wisdom, here's a key. You got to have great relationships. If you don't have great relationships, you're going to forfeit the wisdom of God a lot of your life. So just draw on the wisdom of the other people around you, you know. Just one, I've got to brag on my dad for a couple more minutes. When Dad got there, they had never had anybody stay. I'm not sure if it was 5 or 7 years. And the guy said, you know, kind of laughed at Dad when Dad started. He said, well, we've never had anybody last longer than, let's just say, 7 years here, you know, because you're dealing with people, you're dealing with the public, you're dealing with all these super, you know, all these leaders. So at Dad's retirement party, he looked over that guy and says, hey, by the way, how did I do? Okay, do you think he did all of that work that he did as a director of public works because he was so smart. Now, he was fairly smart. He went to Platteville, graduated with honors from Platteville in engineering. He was fairly smart, but he was smart enough to draw on the wisdom of those seven guys. He was smart enough to really, really treat his secretary well, because when he retired, she was his boss. That's a good, smart man, amen? You know, he had to report to her after he was a consultant for that. But that's godly wisdom. Just deal with people in a great, great way. So where do you need, and I need to finish this up, but you need wisdom in your marriage. How about parenting? You want to hear another one that my dad pulled on me when I wasn't smart enough to figure out? Yeah, have you guys seen how I drive? Don't comment, all right? When I'm 16 years old, I'm thinking dad didn't really want me to drive his car anymore. So he said, it's time, son, we go and get a car. All right? So I had worked at a golf course since 12, so I had plenty of money in the savings, whatever. And so we get out, and we found this, if you can remember this, a 1974 Chevy Vega. Anybody remember those cars? My dad conned me into buying a 1974 Chevy Vega. When I got home, I realized I'd been conned, because I realized that it took 15 minutes to get to 55. That was just great, great godly wisdom. He knew me. He knew how he was going to see his son paying for tickets, because he liked to do whatever he did. And I need to still go back and talk to him and resolve that one. He was still right, amen? That's godly parenting wisdom, amen? For those that were around the night before the wedding, you know, mom's wisdom, I've seen you drive with four wheels. You're no kid in our family is getting a motorcycle. Amen? All right? Some things can happen on two wheels, because we've seen you on four wheels before. All right, we better get going here. I just like to talk. How about the area of finances? I've been married to a saver for 27 years, okay? So we've never had money problems. Why? Because we've never paid interest in our life. When you don't have to pay interest, there's a good possibility you can save a lot of money. We started saving money for Luke's college before he was even born. That's a good finances. You need wisdom, amen? You know, we should have spent a whole lot more money when I was in Siren, but when I left Siren, we had $350,000 in the bank. We gave $15,000 or 15% to missions every year. We did alms every year. We improved the building every year. I wish I would have spent a whole lot more money now. But anyway, because I was surrounded and I surrounded myself with godly wisdom of other leaders, we were always able to do everything we wanted to do, and we always had money left over. And we could always help the missionaries and do whatever we wanted to do. That's just godly wisdom, amen? You know, nowadays, I'm just sorry if you're young, but young people nowadays, they want to get everything of what they took their parents to get for 20 years. All these young people, if they would have came to me when I was in Siren, I could have saved them a whole lot of heartache. They had to have every toy and every car and everything that their parents did. It took their parents 20 to 30 years. My dad was 73 when he bought his first new car. Okay, so that's just wisdom, and we need wisdom with finances. How about with our health? I just made a simple decision last year, and I'm fudging a little bit here, but I basically went about 6 months without sugar. Okay, I'm going to have to do things for the next 25 years because I want to be healthy, and I want to do a bunch of great things in my life, and I lost like 25 pounds. That's a good thing, amen? I made a wise decision, amen? You want to know how to save a whole lot of money? Don't smoke and don't drink. Come on, you guys. Do you realize how much hundreds or thousands of dollars I've saved through the years by not just doing those things? Just a thought, you know, finances. And actually, if you do those things, sometimes then you, especially alcohol, you make unwise decisions and it costs you more things. Amen? So I could go on and on and on about all the areas, but we need God's wisdom. All right, let's go to point number six and we'll close. Actually, I did give you most of my point number six. How about wisdom and salvation? When I was 12 years old, I got born again. That was the smartest decision I ever made in my life. Made a full surrender of my life to Jesus Christ. I've made him Lord. I put my hand to the plow, not look back. I'll never look back. The same zeal and enthusiasm that I have today, I've had pretty much every day since I was 12 years old. You'll never see, you know what? I face all kinds of difficulties in life, but yet my enthusiasm and love for Jesus is not going to change. You know, my enthusiasm for the church and the kingdom of God, you know, the enemy would like to steal that. That ain't going to change. So, some personal examples. For college, just God directed me. I was on the six-year plan, if you didn't know that. Okay, I went to three different colleges, took a year off. Every time, God directed me on what I did in the midst of that. Took a year off, whatever, just to work, because you know it costs money to go to college, and I didn't like that much debt, so I took a year off, and I worked. In the middle of that, I worked seasonal work. I had some time off in the winter. My pastor says, how would you like to go to Jamaica? How'd you like to go back and do missions work for like 3 or 4 months? I said, man, that's the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. That's God. I'm all in. Amen. That was easy to figure that one out, wasn't it? All right. So wisdom for marriage. So many decisions we made for Luke, or not we made for Luke, yeah, we probably did, all right? But just drawing on the wisdom of God, parenting, relationships, life. I'll finish this up on another sermon. You guys have had enough for today. So actually, can we get all of the elders or wives and deacons and their wives? We're going to close with a time of prayer today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, you guys. We didn't have altar time with the worship. We had a deacon meeting, and they were saying, let's for the next few weeks, focus on ministry time and altar time during this time. In case you leave and we have prolonged time, just once again, all of you, you're invited for Father's Day breakfast next week. Invite somebody to come. It's going to be great. We serve great food around here. We're going to have great service. Sherry's already going to testify. We're going to have another, at least one more testimony next week, so that's for next week. All right, so I want you to be willing to get out of your seat, to be humble, teachable, pliable, meek, and ask for wisdom, and ask one of these godly men and godly women up here to pray with you, because we all need wisdom. Would you, and I know I already have this, but I need you to pray for me every single day of my life that I would have the mind of Christ and wisdom of God so I can be a great pastor. And you actually need that in your life. So you guys, these are up here to pray for you. Let me give you the areas again. Guys, we all need help in getting a little more wisdom in our marriage, right? That's one area. Parenting. Anybody a parent here? Would you like wisdom on raising your kids right, or your grandkids right, or your great-grandkids? How about wisdom with work? Sometimes people change jobs, okay? Wouldn't you like to have the mind of Christ to make the right decision for your work? Now, God can redeem it if you make a wrong decision, but life's a lot easier if you make the right decisions. How about your health? Maybe God's speaking to you today to make a decision as far as your health. How about church? How about your future? How about the world? How about your relationships? Whatever it be, let's just put a song in this time. Can we do that? Blessed. Have a great day. Have a great week. Thank you for being here. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.